Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Welcome to Pachanga and Possibility. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. On today's show, we have author and spiritual teacher, Ciara Rubin, and we're going to be talking about her new book that came out last week, You Always Know. It's about developing your intuition. So this book is great for both the beginner and for the expert who's already been seasoned in the world of psychic readings and being connected to their intuition. But this is also for the beginner who just wants to learn how to connect to their intuition just for their own personal growth to be able to make better informed, heart-centered decisions in their lives. So she is a mom of two. So if you're a mom, this is also really good because a question I always get is, Natalie, how do I connect with my intuition and know the difference between intuitive guidance and fear when it comes to my children? And we dive deep into that question and many, many more things. She also checked all my Virgo checkboxes.
Sugar made.
That's great. My daughter's having a low blood sugar. Fantastic. Hold on. Because you know. And that is the perfect segue to all the technical issues that I've been having with starting season 3 of the podcast. We had a ton of technical issues. Every episode has been really, really complicated because I've had a ton of technical issues. And it's been like tearing me down at a soul level. but this one was the worst. And I had to say, I had to use her Zoom, which was really unprofessional and cringy for me, because that was my biggest fear, is that everything would collapse and I'd have to use my guest's technology to make this podcast happen. And she was so kind and understanding and said, absolutely, let's use my Zoom and I'll send you the file. It is all good. And that's exactly what happened. However, the file, because I was having connectivity issues, the file in the beginning was messed up. All of my audio was super choppy to the point that I can't use the first 3 minutes of the interview, which is why I'm here wearing something different, looking different, because it is not the same day as the recording. And so I had to re-record the introduction, which is what you're listening to, and then let you know that we're going to jump into the interview like 3 minutes in, or not even, I think it's a little bit less, it might be just 2 minutes in, where the audio fixes itself and she begins to explain who she is and what she does. So thank you for your patience with any audio issues you've heard possibly on the previous episodes, and I am working diligently on trying to get this resolved. I have at least another 5 interviews already booked for January and February. So this needs to come together. However, I may not book anymore after that and give myself a little break. So I don't know. We'll see. But for now, without any further ado, here is the wonderful and the beautiful and the talented and very kind Ciara Rubin.
There is still a little bit of a delay, but I think I got the gist. And yes, I was a tarot reader for a long time, and I was, you know, focusing on using my intuition to help other people, you know, but one of the biggest downloads that I got from the very beginning of that journey was that everyone has these abilities, these intuitive abilities, psychic abilities, whatever you want to call them. And it's really like building a muscle. So on the back burner was just becoming more and more passionate about wanting to teach, teach you how to fish instead of fishing for you, right? And so now I call myself I'm a spiritual teacher. That's what I've always been. So I'm a spiritual teacher. As you said, I am now a best-selling author, which is like just trying to accept that and let that sink in. And I'm also a singer, and I've been a singer for many, many years. And so I integrate that into my edutainment, if you will, education entertainment that I provide.
I love it. I know I love your singing. I've seen it on Instagram, and it's always fun watching you do that. And I've wondered if you incorporated it into your healing. And then I saw that in your album of meditations that goes together with the book that you have like a singing track for us to help connect with our own voice. And I thought that was really awesome that you already answered my question, that you are merging these two things, which is awesome. So before you actually got into all of the spiritual stuff, you had a very different dream. I'm going to share a little snippet of that.
Yes, I did. And I thought that it was my dream. I kind of just realized that it wasn't really my dream, but sometimes you can't figure that out until you go deeper into it, right? So I wanted to be a Broadway star. I wanted to be in New York, doing musical theater. I had done musical theater since I was little in high school and in college. That's what I majored in. And then through the process in college of studying it, I watched my classmates go through this transformation of basically having to develop a really big ego because the entertainment industry is a business of rejection. And so you really have to feel like you are amazing, in order to emotionally survive that. And it just wasn't a journey that I wanted to go on. I didn't want to have that big of an ego. I didn't want to be a starving artist in New York. I just didn't want it bad enough. And when you are in that industry, it has to be the only thing you want. And I didn't know what else I wanted, but I knew that that wasn't it. And so I stopped pursuing theater. I stopped going to auditions, and just started waitressing and bartending for years. Until I met an amazing man who I am now married to. And when I met him, I was like, well, maybe I should like get my crap together. So I took a job for a chamber of commerce, eventually was promoted to their director of operations. I have a Virgo moon. And so I love the spreadsheets and the organization and the color coding. Oh, just gets me going. So that was a great job for me. And it was a great way to start getting my feet wet with public speaking. And I had a lot of perks. And I was, interfacing with the mayor on the regular and like all these powerful people. But it felt really empty. It felt like I was doing something that felt like this, like in my book, I call it like a thin veneer of silly self-importance. And that's really what it felt like, is like everybody thinks that they're super important here, but what are we really accomplishing? How are we really actually helping people? And then I had a new friend that I had met there, and she invited me to my first psychic fair. And I had never been to a psychic fair before, but I'd always been into astrology and identified as an empath. So I was like, sure, why not? I'll check it out. And in the book, I share the story of that first time, that first reading that I had with the aura reader who was there. And she asked me, have you ever had any paranormal experiences? I said, actually, yes, now that you mention it, and told her about a few of them. And she was like, you can do this. You can do what I can do. You're psychic. You're going to be a teacher. You're going to be a spiritual leader. And I was like, that sounds crazy. You sound crazy. No, like I just don't you see? I'm checking all the boxes. I'm wearing skirt suits. I got this man that my parents approve of. Like, get out of here with your crazy. But something about it was just so like exciting. And when she told me to get a deck of angel tarot cards, I did. And it was just like, that was in 2015, and things just blew wide open from there, and I started doing readings for other people and realizing that this really was what I was meant to be doing and how I was meant to be helping people.
I love your story in general because that's just a little piece of your story. And I love how you even said, like, I'm checking all the boxes and I'm wearing the skirt suits and I'm amongst all these like people and I'm doing all the things. Like, it's almost like, look at me, mom. Like, I'm growing up, I'm grown up, I'm doing all these things. But it still felt, you know, like out of alignment. And then this person tells you you're going to be this. And I love that now you're this. And we're fast forward. How many years would you say from that moment? And what year was it? It said 2015.
Yeah, so that was like it was 8 years ago. Yeah,
Wow.
almost 9 years ago now in February.
In February. And tell me, and I made a note of this like tiny mini story that you said when you quit, like, share what you said to your job, to your boss, and then his politically correct response, which was also epic. I just
Yes.
loved that moment.
Thank you. And it was, yeah, I was, ballsy. Always have been, I guess. And but the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce and I were close in age. He was just a little bit older than me. And he was the son of the person who was doing all the newspapers in the town and in the surrounding town. So the media, right? The local media. So he was a very influential person despite his young age, had desires of being a politician. At that time. And so I sat down across from him and, we'd had so many meetings and spent so much time together over the past few years. And so it was like, I don't know, I think it was a big of a shock for him to hear that I said, I'm quitting to go be a psychic. Like, I'm gonna go and do tarot readings for people. And he was just like, trying not to sound judgy, but like fully tell me more about that. Like, help me understand that with this like wide eye. Help me. So do you mean like crystals? And I was like, well, kind of, but like not really. So
That is so funny.
it was, and it felt very karmic. It felt very like in another life that hadn't gone so well when he like had found out who I was, right? So he had no choice in this life but to save face, act right, and I was a very big girl about it. I gave them a month and a half notice. I trained my replacements. I cleared that karma.
I love it. That was such a funny story. You're like, I'm gonna go quit to be a psychic. And he's like, help me understand that.
Oh yeah, and
That
there were
was.
other board members who like tried to take me out to lunch to like, I don't know, maybe assess if I'd lost my mind. I don't really know what they were thinking. But there were plenty of other board members that were like secretly like, "Hey, can you read my tarot cards though?"
There always are. Always. They're the ones that they're like in the closet, you know, woo-woo, and they want you to do all the things, but they're not ready to come out. Okay, so let's talk about your book. So fast forward, you've done the things, you've there I met you when you were in your phase of doing all the tarot things, and I'm so grateful because I feel like, you know, the teacher shows up when you're ready. And when it comes to tarot, like I had studied developing my psychic abilities for many years, and I had gone down that path, but I never went down the tarot path. And I never connected with any decks. And I had even bought a course, and I didn't even connect with the course. I didn't connect with the cards. Like, it was just like nothing. And then you sent me this messenger, like, girl, this deck is for you. And it was a unicorn tarot deck. Can I tell you that till this day, it is the only deck that I use? It has totally opened up all of my, like, I don't know what's the word. Like, it opened up that energy to connecting with the energy of tarot. And all of a sudden, what felt impossible opened up with such ease and grace and fun. And it also became the only tool that I was able to really rely on when I was going through it. Like, I was going through so much shit that I didn't have the time or bandwidth to sit and meditate, connect with my guides and journal and all of these other tools that I would always use to do my thing. And it was like the last bit of spirituality I had to hold on to for a while because it was so easy and there's simplicity. And I was just able to pull a card for the day. And it was the only thing that gave me hope for many, many months because that was the only connection I had to my spiritual side because of everything else that I had going on in life. So I was like, wow, like it was so powerful that you just gave me that little bit of intuitive guidance that came to you out of nowhere. And it ended up being like really impactful. And till this day, it's the only deck that I use. And I'm still learning the tarot, but it's been really fascinating just how it all played out. And I'm super grateful.
Oh, well, I'm honored. I'm so honored. And why make it a complicated order? The tarot. Like, why? Like, I think that happens with a lot of spiritual concepts and paths, and I can see why it may have served those spiritual paths in the past to make things complex and complicated so that only people who were truly committed would go down that path and figure it out and unravel the mysteries in a way, sort of a protective measure that these secret societies and esoteric groups were taking to make sure to vet the people that were trying to get into their groups, to make sure that there wasn't someone trying to infiltrate who would then, betray them and all of that. Because let's face it, the esoteric circles and the secret groups and the witches and all of these things, we've suffered, right? Because of fear. And so I think it needed to be complex, but it doesn't need to be complex or complicated anymore. We're in an era where, for better or for worse, the Kardashians and Adele are into crystals and tarot. So, that wasn't exactly our ideal version of how spirituality would become on trend, but we'll take it. We'll take it. And spirit always follows the path of least resistance. And so now that things are more open and that spirituality is actually on trend instead of punishable by death, we can make the tarot simple too. And we don't, the traditional meanings are beautiful and rich and detailed but we can also just use our intuition and our intuitive senses to figure out what the heck's going on the card. We don't have to, although I have right here a very traditional deck, we don't have to use those decks. We can find a deck that really just lights you up, that has artwork, that speaks to your soul, and then connect with it that way. We don't have to use the traditional deck, use the traditional meanings at all,
Yeah, and it's true. It's definitely, I'm living proof of that. That's exactly what worked for me, and I love it. So let's dig deep into the book. Who is the book for?
Yeah. The book is for empaths, first and foremost, and it is for entrepreneurial empaths, empathic women who want more than just the status quo, who are brave enough to heal generational trauma because they recognize that opportunity, right? That that weight that we carry, right? We were meant to do that, to heal these generational ancestral wounds so that we don't pass them on to our children, right? Or if we want to become moms, our future children. That's who it's for. It's for the women who want to have their own business, who want to create this new economy that we are creating together in a feminine way. So it's really for, that's who it's for. It's for empaths. There is a call to action at the end for light workers. So, ultimately that would be the ideal person is someone who identifies as an empath or highly sensitive, is interested in developing their intuition, but then by the end of the process is like, you know what? I want to take this and run with it and incorporate it into my life and how I'm here to serve people.
And in this book, so I loved the book. I didn't know what to expect. And not that I read it cover to cover because I got it yesterday, but as much as I really wanted to inhale it in 24 hours, I couldn't. But let me tell you that this book, as someone who's read many spiritual books on the topic and have attended tons of workshops and trainings, I really love the book. I love how it's laid out. I love it's a combination, like there's part of it, you have your Virgo moon, right? Like you said, and I'm Virgo sun, and then you're Gemini sun, and I'm Gemini rising. So we haven't flip-flopped. The only thing is that you got the Capricorn and I have the Sagittarius. And I can feel like the Virgo-ness of like everything being laid. So that the Virgo in me was like, yes, all of this is so linear and comprehensive, and there's tables and there's guides and there's quizzes and there's all the things that like my dorky side and Virgo side loves. And then there's even a workbook, y'all. So I haven't even seen you. I don't think you mentioned the workbook yet online. I haven't seen it on your social media, but there's a workbook, and I'm a workbook junkie. Like, I just love workbooks because I'm a dork like that. So from that very like left brain perspective, I loved that part. But then what I was surprised and loved was also like the storytelling that was woven in between the charts and questions and this and that was, and the graphs and the pictures, and like there was all this storytelling that was really like rich, and I would see this all this cool like techniques, and then I stumble upon a story and I'm like, first of all, you're hilarious. So like I love how your personality comes through. You're super down to earth, but then you're also like sharing very deep, profound spiritual topics and experiences. And I feel like the book is still very useful for the person who's been studying intuition and spirituality and psychic development for a long time, for the person who is very experienced in this, and for the newbie. I feel like for that novice who's just like, what is intuition and what does it mean and how do I connect to it? The book is really for those who are both ends of the spectrum. So kudos to you for being able to like present something to both audiences or the full spectrum of people on their psychic development like journey or intuition. I feel like psychic development might scare people because I have friends that would be scared. But I do have friends and that ask me, like, Natalie, how do I connect to my intuition and how do I know the difference between receiving a message and just mom fear? Because you speak as a mom, because you are a mom of two boys, and you touch on that perspective and you write this book as a book of a mom of two children and what that means and what life looks like and how to still connect with your intuition amidst all of that and how to discern between your intuition and your ego or fears. And you literally answer these questions in the book. So for the person who wants to know that difference, I think it's great. What is your favorite part of the book?
That's a hard question, but it is a toss-up between the tables at the end.
I saw the tables. I was like, what? There's tables at the end.
And the personal stories, because I very deeply studied several of my favorite spiritual authors who I really look up to, and really paid attention to how they lay their books out and how they tell their stories. And one of my most favorite spiritual authors, who I won't name, she lays out her spiritual teachings like a boss. Perfect. It's so digestible. It's so easy to follow. It's easy to do the practices. But her personal stories are like kind of dry. You know, it's like, where's the meat?
Right.
Where's the juice in here? It feels like it's just all been ironed out in the editing process. And so I really wanted to leave that in. I really wanted it to feel a little voyeuristic, if you will, a little view into my life and like the real emotions that I felt and the real shocks and awe that I felt in the spiritual experiences. So I think the tables are really great because it takes all the information and it puts it in a really easy to reference form. So it turns the book into a reference book, but it's a reference book that you're like, okay, I'm going through these topics. All right, but then oh, there's a story, and then it hooks you in again, and then it hooks you in again. So that would be the my A to your Q.
Yeah. So that was by no accident. You very strategically did that. You knew to add the personal stories with the with all of the more framework stuff. So oh gosh. So in the book we cover a big chunk of it is your clairs. And you have things broken down into four steps: clear awakening, releasing fear, spiritual self-care, and intuition validation. Like, that's the meat of the whole book. Out of all of those things that are, you cover so many. Your book is so comprehensive, which again, I really love and appreciate. Which is the one that you feel that you've had, like, students and clients struggle with the most? Like, what's been the biggest pain point for women connecting with their intuition?
Well, the first thing that popped in was the spiritual self-care part. And the second thing that popped in was the shadow work. But I think that people pretty much understand the concept of shadow work, but I'm glad that I am able to like take you through and give you the steps and to not only like know what the shadow is, feel your feelings, but then what's next to like integrate that. But I would say probably one of the toughest topics for my clients that I have noticed is in the step three, spiritual self-care, in the chapter about spiritual self-care mindset. So I don't know if you have don't have been able to dive into that part yet, but it's this idea of a sense of inner safety, a cultivating a true sense of inner safety as a way of manifesting the things that you want in your life. In fact, I disagree with many spiritual teachers and practitioners who teach about spiritual protection.
I
And I
saw
say
that.
that, yes, that spiritual protection only takes you to a certain point. And I give a couple of examples of why that is. So number one would be the law of attraction. And so the law of attraction means that you're not just attracting what you want, you're attracting what you are. You're attracting the frequency that you are emitting. And so, if there is a part of you that feels that you're not safe or believes that you're not safe, you're going to attract experiences that confirm that belief for you. And there's a difference between safety and protect. So, let's say that safety is a state of being, it is a noun. You either are safe or you are not. Right. And if you are not safe or you feel or believe you're not safe, you will then practice spiritual protection. Protection, which is a verb, it's an action, something you do in order to feel safe. So if you're practicing spiritual protection, then that means that on some level you do not believe you are safe. And so you will continue to attract experiences into your reality that confirm that lack of safety. So spiritual protection actually does not work. And so the next spiritual law that we talk about, that I talk about in the book, is unity consciousness, to help you understand that when you fear attack from others or you practice spiritual protection, who are you really protecting yourself from? If we are one in spiritual truth, then you are simply protecting yourself from another aspect of yourself, right? And that's like a really lofty concept, and it's like really kind of airy fairy and all of that. So, but what that really means is that if you can take those two ideas and begin to implant the idea that the safest place to be is where you are, then you can begin to cultivate a true sense of inner safety, which leads to full self-empowerment, full self-realization, full self-actualization. But it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes, because it feels really scary out there. So that I think would be the most difficult part of the book that I think I will get a lot of questions about.
How has that landed so far? Because I know you have like a YouTube video that talks about this. Like, how has that message landed?
So some people who are deeply in victim mentality struggle to digest it, and will either argue or they'll get triggered and they'll leave my sphere for a while. Most of them do come back when they realize that practicing spiritual protection still isn't working. And some people feel empowered. Some people feel like, oh, okay, so I actually can cultivate a sense of inner safety, and that sense of inner safety will make me safe in my life, and I won't experience as much drama, and I won't experience as much hardship or difficulty, because they've started to pre to see the evidence of that. So it's a split.
I know for me, I waver. I've never been a fan of wearing any evil eye stuff for that reason. 'Cause I feel like you're honed in on it, you're paranoid about it, you're just bringing in more of it. Like, so when I see that people are like head to toe in evil eye stuff, I'm like, I don't adopt to that whole thought process. Because I don't see the point. Like, I get it, but it feels counterintuitive, so that's never been my jam. And then that unity consciousness, there's been moments where it's like we're all love, there's nothing to be afraid of, we're all children of God, even if like there's things that have strayed away from the light and all these things. And I've been very like, the more open your heart is, you don't have to be so afraid. And then there's been moments like recently where there was like paranormal stuff happening in my house, and then I was like, I think I'm gonna get a little onyx bracelet, and I am gonna smudge, and I am gonna clear, because there's something that's hanging around. And so I've been, when I think protection lately, I think more along those lines of where like I have to literally physically protect my space because weird shit's been happening. But in general, like the shielding and the this and the that and the bubbles of light and the evil eye, I agree with you.
And there's a distinction, right? There's a difference between clearing your energy and setting boundaries and protecting yourself, right? Because when you are clearing your energy, that's healthy. You need to clear your energy. You need to make sure whatever you're feeling and experiencing is yours and not someone else's, right? As an empath, you need to set boundaries and illustrate what you will and won't accept in your life and in with your relationships, right? But that's different than piling on all your evil eyes and saying, "Don't get me," you know? It's just
Right.
totally different. It's a different vibe. So, yes, clearing your space, right? And setting boundaries with spirits, absolutely. You know, also recognizing that anything that's coming near you is a reflection, right? It's a reflection of some darkness that's still within you, because we still have darkness and there always will be darkness. There needs to be darkness in order to be contrast, right? And so it's just about facing that darkness with compassion when you can overcome that initial fear. What do you want? Curiosity. What are you here for? What do you want to tell me? You know, I've had experiences with shadow beings where I'll see a shadow being in the corner of the room, and initially I'm scared, but then I'm like, okay, what do you want? And I've seen it melt away and reveal my inner child. You know, so it's just sometimes these shadow beings or these crappy people that come into your life, it's like they're just trying to show you this unhealed part of yourself.
Absolutely. What do I want to dig into the book next? There's so much good stuff. Because we got like, well, do we share with the audience, like, these are your four clairs and this is how to connect to them, or do we dig into all the shadow work or all the self-care work? Because I want to talk about it all. I know we're limited on time. One thing that stood out to me was, oof, which one do I want to do first? So your story about losing friends and the end of your marriage, which we have to do the story. And then I also want to talk about the special shadow, which I think is a really juicy one that nobody talks about.
Well, let's go there first then, since nobody talks about it. So when I was first starting out on my journey and I realized or was told that I have, you know, intuitive abilities and that I should be doing readings for other people, it was fabulous. And I felt on fire because I was like, great. Like, I've been bullied. I never fit in. I never felt like anyone really understood me. So now, come to find out, all of that is because I have these special abilities and I can, you know, use them in order to see things that other people can't. I mean, what an ego trip, right? That whole saying of, you know, you never were meant to fit in because you were here to create a new world kind of thing. Whew, like just total ego food for the ego. And I think that in times past, that type of thing was needed because you needed to be super duper respected and seen as above other people as a spiritual teacher in order to not be betrayed, killed, jailed, your entire reputation ruined, right? And so back in the in those days, you needed to be the most special and the most connected so that people would follow you and worship you and treat you in a way where they loved you instead of they're going to turn you in for a reward kind of thing. And so again, I have compassion for that part of us, right? The those wounds that we've carried by carrying this information forward for all these millennia. And but we need to let it go. We need to let it go. We need to forgive the people who were afraid, the people who prosecuted, the people who told on us, the people who betrayed us. We need to forgive them and let that go because the mission was always to share the knowledge with them, was to share the knowledge with everyone when they were ready to receive it, when they had eyes to see and ears to hear, and now they do. And so we don't need to be the most special anymore. And we don't need to lord our intuitive abilities and spiritual prowess over other people because that's not the mission. The mission is to make ourselves as light workers no longer needed. When everyone has a sense of self-love and self-empowerment. And so we can't like, oh, I've had been psychic since I was 2 years old, and I had this experience, and it's so special. And I have this special connection to the Sirian collective and this channeling, da da da. It doesn't matter. The message is what's important. When you focus too much on the messenger, it becomes a religion. But when you focus on the message, it can come from within you, and you can decide what resonates with you or not. So I wanted to be the most special, but then I realized all this stuff that I just said, and I was like, oh, actually, that's even more exciting. That's even more exciting that everyone can do this and everyone can be this and everyone can empower themselves to this level. You know, we don't need to be gatekeepers anymore, right? And I've been somebody said to me years ago, you're the gatekeeper that ends all gatekeeping. And I was like, that's an interesting idea. But I see now what they were talking about.
I want everyone to take that in. Like, breathe it in, y'all. Because it's an important message. And I think as we start awakening to our intuitive abilities, I feel like this is just like one of those phases and milestones that we go through. We're like, ooh, and I can see and hear and feel and know all these things. And we go through that like special shadow. I think it's normal. And all the reasons that you explained, and just kind of self-compassion and realizing the bigger picture and what the message is, what's more important, not the messenger. And I just really love that you dedicated a piece of the book to sharing that information and keeping it real.
Yeah, like, you know, if we're going to be claiming to be leaders of other people, we need to be leading ourselves. If we're going to be psychic for other people, we need to be most and first and foremost psychic about ourselves and be aware that even as very spiritually skilled, intelligent people, there's still an ego there.
Yeah, and it's normal. It's part of the human experience, but keeping ourselves in check and doing our own self-care and shadow work, it's the process. But it's true. It's like if we all learn to connect with our intuition, like my whole life changed completely when I tapped into my intuition, because it's just really like tapping into your soul, like into you who you're, it's not that you're tapping into some magical powers. It's just really deeply connecting to yourself. And then also being able to really deeply connect it to other people and that information, and to the realms, like the realms of the unseen. Also, like, it's things that we've always had access to, It's always been communicating with us. It's always been surrounding us. Like it exists. It's nothing magical extra that God has bestowed upon you. It's like, no, we all have this, and we can all just learn to use that dial to tune in. And that really is going to help you guide yourself and your life to a life of more like fulfillment and health and love and all of these things. So it's such an important, I feel like it's a skill like any other skill that needs to be developed.
Yep, it's a muscle. You just gotta flex it. And
Exactly.
ultimately, yeah, it sets you free. It sets you free and makes you much harder to control. And because you're in control of yourself and you recognize that the God or the universe is it's all within you, that you're an individual aspect of it, and it's so deeply, deeply satisfying.
So let's hop over to losing friends and the end of your marriage. And then I'll tie in all of the things that you're offering with your delicious book and everything else.
Yeah.
And then we're good.
Yes. So I didn't want to sugarcoat it, you know? Like a lot of times when you are first starting on this journey or at any point on your journey and when you up level, when you're doing your shadow work, when you reach a new level of self-love, a new level of self-empowerment, and you're being that version of yourself out in the world, it's going to rock the boat with your relationships and the relationships that you're in. And it's not always going to be easy, and it's not always your relationships might end. And I didn't want to pretend that that wasn't part of it, because it was for me, from my experience. Now, you very well, and I'm saying like you who are listening, very well might go through this transformation, and the people who are in your life right now will come right along with you. And that's what I hope for you, you know? And I also wanted to provide the example of my life, which was, you know, every single bridesmaid in my wedding, and there was like seven of them, other than, you know, my sister and my cousin, who are still in my life, they're stuck with me. They left and they fell
Wow.
away, and it was rough. It was rough because I felt like, oh, I'm becoming who I really am, and I feel more like myself than I ever have, and I'm happier than I've ever been. And they weren't into it, you know?
Yeah.
That wasn't the spiritual version of me, the true version of me, right? Wasn't the version of me that they signed up for when we became friends. And so it was tough. And I spent many years where my only friend was the girl who invited me to the psych that first psychic fair. And I had some really big wounds around friendships and female friendships because of that experience, but also other experiences like moving across the country. So I feel like losing all my friends at that time gave me an opportunity to face that wound again and to not do the thing where I keep people at arm's length and not do the thing where I'm having superficial relationships that are built on gossiping and complaining and talking about, you know, pop culture only, right? Talking, what is it they say that small people talk about people, medium-sized people talk about events, and big people talk about ideas, right? And so it was tough, and there were many, I mean, it was like seven, almost, yeah, it was like almost 7 years where I spent only having that one friend who I kept at an arm's length. Because that's what I thought, you know, the typical like keep you at arm's length and just love bomb you at the beginning, but then I'm finding all these things wrong with you because I want to stay safe, I want to protect myself. And so it took many years of me deciding to continue to be friends with this person who really was, she's really a wonderful person, and she's never done anything wrong to me. And she's supportive and she checks in. And so I stuck it out and we've stayed friends and we've been friends for 10 years now, and I'll never let her go. You know, and you, spoiler alert, you talked about my marriage ending. It didn't, but it almost did. And it's understandable again, because from his perspective, I became somebody completely different than the woman he married. You know, at my core, I'm still the same person, but all of my interests, all of my hobbies, the way that the lens that I view the world through is completely different. And it was tough too, because I would see all these couples online, right? Partners in shine, and they're light workers together, and they're both, you know, creating content and spiritual teachers. And I was like, man, like, is that something I need? Is that something I want? You know, and my husband, who is amazing and all of that, he's very open-minded. He's very spiritual in his own way, but he's not into tarot cards like I am, and he's not, you know, like into, you know, a shadow work junkie like I am, and all of that, you know. So it was really, really tough, and we had to sort of fall in love all over again. And it was really, really hard at some points thinking, like, is this really going to last? Is this going to work? You know, are we going to become like a statistic, or not? And I really, really tested him too, because in the book I share that I gave him an ultimatum because I was feeling very out of alignment with the area that I was in. Again, I had no friends pretty much. So I was like, what's keeping me here? I want to go back home to where I'm from in California. And so I told him, like, I'm going. Hope you're coming. If not, oh well, you know, kind of thing. And don't get me wrong, it was very, very painful and difficult to say that to him. And the 2 days before he gave me his decision were absolute hell. And I was like, doing a salt bath twice a day. I was like in constant meditation, bawling my eyes out, you know. And then after 2 days, he said, all right, like, I'll come with you, but we're gonna like make an adventure out of it. Let's get an RV, you know, all this. And so on that RV trip, which we were on for about 14 months, he became a little bit more spiritual. I became a little bit more grounded. I was like way in outer space at that time, literally talking about galactic consciousness at that
Yes,
point.
I saw that you, the Galactic Federation, chimed in. They seem to always chime in, I feel, in the beginning when we're like from here to here. And
Yes.
then they're like, hi. And then we bring it back. And they're like,
Yes.
okay.
And I still have experiences, you know, to this day, but it's not quite as much as when I was. I mean, when you're in these vortexes and these super lit energetic places like Sedona, Arizona, and Mount Shasta, California, speaking about the US, you're going to have a lot of these types of experiences. But yeah, so we did this journey together on our RV trip, and we grew closer together again and ended up conceiving our first child. And so it can work out to say that. Like, when you are awakening spiritually, it doesn't mean that your marriage has to end. It doesn't mean that the friendship has to end. And but you need to be open to the fact that it might, and not let that stop you from becoming who you really are. Because if you do, then you're just going to be pretending to be somebody else for your whole life just to stay in that relationship. And isn't that going to kill your soul?
I hear you. That's been one of the biggest things that I always hear when I have clients or friends who start their spiritual journey and they're starting to really heal and work on themselves and they start to really find themselves. And then they're like, Natalie, I'm losing all my friends. Like, I lost this friend and I lost that friend. And my spouse is like, what is going on? And who are you? And the interesting ones are the ones where, like, now they're connecting with who they are and they're finding their voice, and all of a sudden they become very strong, empowered women in their relationships, and their partners are very uncomfortable with that version of themselves. And things tend to unravel, and it's a while of isolation where you're transitioning from like one group of friends to the next group of friends that are going to be more aligned with who you are now. And it's normal, it's part of the journey. But the example that you gave of, you know, how it almost ended your marriage and everything that took place, you know, leading up to that ultimatum moment and what happened after that and how beautiful everything turned out, is super inspiring. And it's gonna, I feel like, give other women more like hope as they encounter like these experiences. And it may not end happy for them. Maybe their marriage will end, and maybe it will not. But like you said, it's like, what happens if you don't align with that?
Yeah.
So to wrap things up, I wanted to mention a few things. So you're still doing all of this homeschooling your kids, right? Which I did not know.
Well, I do hybrid homeschooling. So
Okay, hybrid hub.
my older son is 6 and he's in kindergarten. My younger son is he'll be 3 in a few months. So I do send him to school 2 days a week, from 9 until 3, but then the other 3 days I'm homeschooling him. Yep.
That's amazing. And then you have a self-care practice of waking up 2 hours before they wake up to do your things, your self-care.
Yes, so on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, my internal clock now wakes me up at 5 a.m. And that's, I mean, most days, I mean, I can lay it all out for you if you want. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I wake up at 5 a.m., come down to this room and do my meditation, my self-pleasure practice, my tarot, my journaling, and then I get, to my to-do list for my business, with whatever time is left. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, my mother-in-law comes and helps me take care of my other son while the older one is in school. That's been a process for me to let somebody help me, and my mother-in-law letting her help me. That's been a process. And then most nights I go to bed pretty early, like when the kids go to bed, but there's 2 nights a week that I stay up to hang out with my husband and have that time together. And then also my husband has his own business as an architect, so I do all the admin for that. So we do see each other on those Tuesdays and Thursdays a little bit during the day. But that's basically how my regular schedule runs.
That's great. Yeah. Power of the schedule and making time for things. So some of the free things that you have that I saw that you offer is the quiz to find out what type of intuitive archetype are you, which was a really fun quiz to take. And I found out that I'm the thought leader, which is the claircognizant one, which was the last one that I thought I would have been.
Of course you are.
And when you've do the quiz, you get a free video guide on that archetype, which I haven't watched mine yet, but I want to see. Then you have YouTube videos, you have your book, a you have the guided meditations that go with the book, which you had me at the one that's titled Forgive That Bitch. That is hilarious. And there's other ones that are just as juicy and hilarious
I figured
of what
it
it
would
comes.
make you click on it.
It really does. You had to, that's exactly what caught me. I was like, that's the first one I got to do because, yeah.
You need to forgive that bitch, even though she's a
I need to
bitch,
forgive a couple bitches in my life. It is what it is. And then there's other ones on there that are also that are great. And then any last words that you want to leave your future readers, and how can they find you? And what if they want to work like one-on-one with you? Is that a thing yet or not yet? And that's
Thank
it.
you. Yeah, thank you so much. So, yes, you can find me on Instagram at Sierra.Rubin. So, at Sierra.Rubin. I'm also on TikTok under that same name. On YouTube, you just search my name. Everything is my name. You'll be able to find me. My website is the same, sierrarubin.com. If you scroll down on the homepage, you'll find a place to learn more about the book or take the quiz or I also am going to be coming out with a new free guide that's called the Easy End to Analysis Paralysis Guide. So that is going to be coming out very soon. And as far as how to work with me, number one, buy the book, go to the website, buy the book on Amazon, read it, see how you feel about it. Where I'm going next is I'm going to be launching a book club to go through the book together in the spring. And that will be in March, and that will be taking everybody through the process of the book and the workbook, like you saw on the resources website, and really getting an idea of what you need from that process and what kind of guidance you need, what kind of questions come up for you, so that I can take that information and turn it into like an online course format. So that is the roadmap that I'm following right now. But so for now, just grab the book and see if you like it. See if you like my vibe, if you enjoy the process and experience any type of transformation, then see if you feel called to move into next steps with me. And what I feel called to do is pull a card. So I'm just going to do that really quick, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see what we have for folks today, or whenever you are consuming this. And we have the Queen of Swords, which I love. She's the boundary queen. All right. She's been through a lot in her life. And so this, if you're listening to this might resonate with you. That I know you've been a lot through a lot in your life. I know you've been through a lot of trauma and a lot of pain and a lot of feeling like you're not good enough and a lot of feeling like people don't see you. And this queen is coming forth to let you know, like, it's time for you to turn that gaze into the mirror and to see yourself, really see yourself, and see that the real fear is not that you will fail, that the real fear is of just how powerful you really are. And what will happen when you unleash that power in a balanced way? Because it is safe for you to be powerful. It is safe for you to be powerful in this life, even if you've made mistakes in other lives. It is safe for you to be powerful and also loved. And as long as you set those boundaries, right? Set those boundaries, whether they're energetic at first, there's a boundary setting scripts on the book resources website for you to take you through that process of setting energetic boundaries first and then getting brave enough to speak your boundaries or text your boundaries, right? So illustrating what you will and won't accept in your life and using that same discipline and those same boundaries with yourself as well, so that you can unleash the power that you have inside of you, because we need it. We need your light and we need your power and we need your love, and for you to channel all of that into something that can help other people.
Thank you. That was beautiful. That was awesome. And I personally needed to hear that today. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right, folks, remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share this podcast if you enjoyed it. This podcast is sponsored by my Etsy shop. So please stop by and check it out. It's in the show notes. I will put all of Ciara's contact information in the show notes as well. So please make sure to go buy her book, follow her on Instagram. Sign up for her freebie on her website so you can stay up to date on all her offerings. And just thanks for being here. Until next time, bye, folks. Thank you, CR.
Bye, thank you.